In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word tonight. May it be an encouragement to us. May we have a greater revelation of who you are. Lord, that we might learn from this lesson tonight and to see what Isaiah did and to pattern our life after him, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've titled the message tonight, See and Say. What to do in the down times of life. There are things that we can say, and there are things that we can see. And if we can focus on those things, then we can find ourselves going up even in down times. Verse 1 mentions the death of the king, the death of Uzziah. He was the 10th king of Judah, and he was a very godly man. He was highly influenced by the prophet Zechariah. And unlike many of the other kings, he never totally departed from the worship of the true God. Under his influence, the southern kingdom attained power, wealth, and success unlike it had had for years. Suppose we could go all the way back to the days of Solomon to where they enjoyed such blessings and such success. He was made heady by his success as a king and by his blessing from the Lord, and so one day Uzziah made the mistake of offering incense in the temple, which was not the responsibility of the king. It was just the responsibility of the priest. And because he had crossed over that line and did what was not his job to do, and in the pride of his heart, he was stricken with leprosy by the Lord for his disobedience. He died in that leprous condition. Disobedience to the Lord is a serious thing, which Uzziah learned the hard way. Well, evidently, Isaiah is disturbed by the death of this great king. After all, he had reigned for 52 years. Isaiah probably hadn't known much about any other king. The death had ended a time of great prosperity and consistency. For Isaiah, the entire nation now entered a time of uncertainty. What would the next king be like? Would he have God's blessing on his life like Uzziah did? Would the nation enjoy the success that it had under Uzziah's leadership? All these questions, all these uncertainties, all the change that was before him and the doubts that were in Isaiah's heart began to fester. And yet for Isaiah, this would become a time of rediscovery. Apparently, Isaiah had had his focus and his attention in the wrong place. He was focused on Uzziah. But now that Uzziah is dead, he has to look elsewhere. And he begins to redirect his attention back to the Lord. And what could have been, and probably was for a time, a downtime in the life of Isaiah became an uptime. That which had held his attention was removed. And so Isaiah was free to have a fresh encounter with God. And what happened to Isaiah in this event spotlights for us what we need to do during the downtimes of our lives. And let's face it, we all have downtimes. There are times when all of us feel down. And those times of feeling down can either grow us or they can ruin us. Depends on what we are giving our attention to. Learning what to do in The downtimes of life will help us get back up in short order. So first of all, we have 2 points to the message tonight. The first one is we need to see what Isaiah saw. And then secondly, we'll need to say what Isaiah said. But first of all, we need to see what Isaiah saw. Again, look at those verses beginning with verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. What did Isaiah see? First of all, he saw God's position. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the Lord in his rightful position, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah saw God in his sovereignty. An earthly king might have died, but the Lord was still on the throne. The Lord still reigned. He's had the opportunity to see the Lord in all of his glory, and it had a profound effect upon the life of Isaiah. When it seems like life is falling apart at the seams, we need to remember that God is still in control of it all. And what appears to be a tragedy to us may be the greatest thing that could ever happen to us. We need to remember just who it is that is in control. Get a vision of the Lord in his position, high and lifted up. He saw God's position. Number two, he saw God's personality. Verse 2, and it stood with the seraphims. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings, and with twain or two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with the other two that were left he did fly. But they cried unto another and said, Holy, 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 thrice holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Can you imagine this picture? What an awesome sight it was for Isaiah to see those angelic beings proclaiming the thrice holy nature of the God of heaven. Even those sinless creatures were careful to give honor to the holiness and purity of the Lord. Notice that they covered their faces with their wings. They also went around that room, that temple, proclaiming the glory of the Lord. Isaiah finally understood that Uzziah might have been a good king, but the Lord God was a holy God, and he alone deserved all glory for his life. We need to remember that God's chief characteristic, not just another one of God's characteristics, but the chief characteristic of God is his holiness. Above all, God is holy. Our duty before the Lord is to honor his holy nature by living holy lives before him. We need to recognize his right to glory by giving him the glory for everything that happens in our lives. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Isaiah learned that this thing was not about Uzziah. It was not about Isaiah. It was about God. He and he alone deserved the place of honor and glory. Be careful not to ever assume the place that belongs to the Lord alone. During the downtimes of life, we need to remember who it is that is working all things out for his holiness and for the glory of his name. Isaiah saw God's position. Isaiah saw God's personality. And number three, he saw God's presence. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. This was a symbol of the presence of God. You notice that God's train filled the temple. That speaks of his robe. God was the central figure in that throne room. Isaiah was reminded rather forcefully that Uzziah might be gone, but again, the Lord was still there. He was still preeminent. He was bigger than it all. Isaiah had not been forsaken even during this downtime in his life, but the Lord was still there with him in great glory. And we need to remind ourselves of this truth as well, that no matter what we are going through in our life, God is still there in all of his glory, in all of his splendor. And he is going to work out whatever it is that is happening in our life. He is going to work it out for his honor and his glory. God's ultimate goal is to bring glory to his name. We are saved, and so therefore we are never, ever alone. Even in the most discouraging times of our life, in the biggest disappointments, in the greatest downfalls, we still have the presence of the Lord with us at all times. We remind ourselves of that truth. Number four, Isaiah saw his own condition. Verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When Isaiah saw the Lord, instantly he realized there was problems within his own heart. And the closer we get to the Lord, the more we see our sinfulness and our iniquity, and we see our problems. We see the wickedness of sin in our very own lives. Isaiah probably thought that his life was going along pretty well. He was the Lord's prophet. But once he got into the presence of God, he saw his shortcomings. Until we see God and are confronted with our own condition before him, we'll remain haughty, we'll remain proud, but when we come face to face with who God is and what we are, it will produce humility and confession. Isaiah did not cry out, woe is my neighbor. Isaiah cried out, woe is me. Until we are able to see our failures and our need for repentance before the Lord, we'll never come clean. But the sooner we come clean with the Lord about our condition, the sooner we'll be able to get out of the downtime and start on the way up. Number five, he saw his own need for cleansing. Verses 6 and 7, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. A live coal, a hot coal. You know it's hot because the angel had to carry it with tongs. And he laid it upon my mouth, and so it said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. I thank God that God doesn't just point out the sins in our life. He's able to wash us clean from those sins. He provides a means for our cleansing. With Isaiah, it was coals, tongs from off the altar. That live coal, that hot coal from off the altar. With us, we sang about it tonight. We preached about it this morning. We sang about it this morning. It's the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us, his precious blood. If we ever see him as he is and we see ourselves as we are, then we will come before him in humility and confess our sins. You know, and sometimes we don't like to get too close to the Lord because the closer we get to him, the more we don't like what we see, what we look like. But on the other hand, when that realization comes and we deal with it and we repent before the Lord, we experience his cleansing, and we will be able to stand in his presence and receive all that he has for us. You talk about a down, turning around and going up. This point in Isaiah's life that was his lowest point turned around to be his highest point as he saw what God wanted him to see. But then number two, we need to say what Isaiah said. Verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. What did he say? First of all, he said, I am available. As soon as Isaiah gets his heart clean, he hears the call. He hears the call of the Lord to service. Do you get that? As soon as we get our hearts clean before the Lord, we start to hear God call us. Give yourself to service. When Isaiah said, here am I, he was saying, my downtime is over and I'm ready for service. He was signifying that he was over the death of Uzziah and that his life was on the altar of sacrifice for the glory of God. That's what we need to say during the downtimes of life. We need to get our all on the altar. Place it all on the altar for God and come to the place where nothing means anything to us but what he wants from us. Lord, what you want from me, that's most important. We need to submit, we need to surrender, and we need to sacrifice. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. He said, I'm available. And then secondly, he said, I am agreeable. Isaiah not only told the Lord of his availability, but he also mentioned his agreeability. He is saying, Lord, I am here to do what you want, and I am willing to say what you want me to say. Send me. Let me go to do what needs to be done. Lord, here am I. Send me. I'll be a willing servant. I'll agree to say, to preach those things that you want me to say and to preach. That's a sure way also to turn your downtimes upside down. Make yourself available to the Lord and get agreeable with whatever he asks you to do. And you can be sure that he will bless your life and that he will use you for his glory. I'm not sure if this is all there is to the story, but I've read that the revival in Wales started because of a 15-year-old girl. I know there was a lot of praying that went on before the revival took place, but it seems that there was this 15-year-old girl that gave it the spark that it needed to go. And you know what she said? She said three words. I love Jesus. I love Jesus, and she started one of the greatest revivals the world has ever known. We study the revival at Wales so that we can have revival today. Other revivals, other times in histories have studied that great revival. I love Jesus. I mean, that didn't take much, but she was simply willing to say what God wanted her to say. She was agreeable. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. D.L. Moody's ministry was simply the response to Henry Varley's statement. Henry Varley said this, D.L. Moody heard it, and he decided he was going to give it a try. Varley said, the world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man who was fully and wholly consecrated to him. So the world has yet to see. The world has not seen such a man wholly and fully consecrated to the Lord. D.L. Moody says, I'll be that guy. I will live my life wholly and fully for the Lord. And his life was a result of trying to carry out that challenge to that statement. The downtimes in our life will come. You can count on them. It's like the sun will rise tomorrow and it'll set. There will be times when we are down. However, when they do come, you can shorten their duration by simply sensing what needs to be done. You can see what Isaiah saw, and you can say what Isaiah said. A focused heart, a clean heart, and a surrendered heart will quickly find its way on the upward path. I know that's what I want in my life. How about you? Wouldn't you like to shorten the down times so that you can spend more time on the mountain for the Lord, serving him, being close to him, and performing his bidding? Could I have your heads bowed, your eyes closed this evening? The commitment tonight is simple. It's twofold. Lord, I am willing to see what I need to see. I am willing to see what you show me. I'm willing to see your position. You are sovereign. I'm willing to see your personality, which is holiness. I am willing to see your presence. And even when I can't see it, I accept by faith that it's there. I am willing to see my own condition. God, you desire truth in the inward parts. I will be truthful with you. I'll be truthful with myself. I will see my own need for cleansing as you reveal sin and iniquity in my heart. I will confess that to you. You need to see what Isaiah saw. And secondly, you need to say what Isaiah said. Lord, I am available. And Lord, I am agreeable. I am available for your service. And I am agreeable with you. I am in agreement with you. Wouldn't it be great if the Lord used one of us here tonight to spark the next great revival? You don't even have to say something profound. It might be a simple statement like, I love Jesus. It might be because you are challenging yourself to see what God can do with and for and through and in you, because you are purposing to be fully and wholly consecrated to the Lord. So how many here tonight by a raised hand would say, Lord, I am willing to see what Isaiah saw and to say what Isaiah said. Could you raise your hand to the Lord up and then down? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Lord, we do humbly lay our lives before you tonight. Because, Lord, we are an open book. You know everything there is to know about us. Lord, as we are in your presence, tonight we confess any sin and any iniquity. We ask for the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us. Your word promises that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from any unrighteousness. We thank you for that tonight. We pray that you would take the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse, to touch us so that we might be cleansed of all sin and all iniquity. Lord, help us to have a desire to get ever closer to you. Day by day, we would be drawn closer to you. And then, Lord, we pray that you would use us as we stand here willing to be of service for you. Lord, here am I, send me. And Lord, whatever you call us to do, may we be agreeable. May we all say, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want me to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.